Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I am the International Coordinator of Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you again the commission of the ministry. And God said this to the founder many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. Today I'm going to be speaking to you about renewing the mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is not something you can do yourself. Your part is to put on the new man that does not consult one's own will. Jesus is our example. In John 5 and 30, Jesus gave his own testimony. This is John 5, 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Look at this verse like a new operating system on a computer. It is virus-free, because all the viruses that run require certain processes in your mind that do not happen when Jesus is Lord of your life. Joseph Hedgecott says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, page 200. The snares that you must escape are in your mind. Snares occur when you do not bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. In order to be free, you must yield completely to the Lord for Him to change you. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to transform you from being a carnal person to a spiritual person. You can only be brought out of captivity by the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, He also exposes the lies you believe to be true. This is the essence of conviction. He will convince you that your belief is false and show you the truth that replaces it. When you let the Holy Spirit expose a lie you once believed and repent, you have the opportunity to receive the truth by faith and obey it. As you obey the truth in your heart and mind, it replaces the previous thought. That part of your mind is renewed. In that particular area, you have the mind of Christ because you now think what He thinks. After an area is renewed, the first thought that comes to your mind should be the truth. Remember, this is a process that takes some time, but it does not take forever. Another lie of Satan. Ask the Spirit to expose every lie you believe to be true, and you will find yourself breaking free from the satanic snares in your life. It is important to understand that proclaiming you have the mind of Christ simply because you are saved is a false doctrine. Receiving the mind of Christ is a process. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are passed away and all things become new. This does not happen in an instant. But every time you repent, you will have more of the mind of Christ. Your mind is not renewed by just accepting what Christ did on the cross or by repeating a single prayer. If you're not willing to be convicted and corrected, Your mind will never be renewed. Old things need to pass away through repentance first before a new revelation can come in its place. God knows what they are, but you need to respond to the changes by repenting of the lies he reveals. Your mind will not be renewed quickly if you allow what you already believe to slow this process down. Everything has to come into the light, including the doctrines you believe. You have nothing to fear if what you believe is the truth. Otherwise, you might end up resisting the process. There are many denominations, and each one believes they have the truth, actually made up of theories and ideas all mixed in together. Joseph Hedgecott says, what you think you know hinders you from knowing what you need to know now. The best way forward is to forget everything you know and believe as a doctrine, and then let the Holy Spirit bring everything back to your mind and confirm everything with the witness of the Spirit before you believe. Consider to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified for your sins. In Matthew 18 and verse 3, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become like little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Make a fresh start today and be sure everything is correct. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9 to 13, he said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You cannot pray for something that is not in your heart. Jesus taught the disciples that they were to seek His perfect will first and have no agenda other than His kingdom coming and His will being done. His perfect will is your focus if you're following Jesus. He is now your provider or Heavenly Father. So you also have to wait on Him to direct. Are you willing to live this way? Are you willing to rely on God through the Holy Spirit, bringing thoughts to your mind, even about what to eat? Jesus taught that we should not think about natural things. In Matthew chapter 6 again, He continues. This time I'm reading from verse 25 up to 33. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and ye are you not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment, and consider the lilies of the field, how they grow? They toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The modern translations say, do not worry, but the King James Version in the English says, take no thought. Are you still initiating thoughts? Thinking is dangerous because this will generate a lot of doubts and even fear. If you consult your own reasoning, then you do not trust the Lord. Jesus said, it was a lack of faith in God to doubt God as a provider. You have to listen more to a wrong voice than the teachings of Jesus. You now have a Father in heaven who will provide everything you need based on putting his kingdom and his righteousness first. When you start thinking you are serving your own interests and the interests of the devil, thinking may be a habit because you've been doing this all your life. If any thoughts come from consulting your mind, it is carnal. But if you listen to yourself and your own ideas, then you're going to go back and end up serving demonic forces. Joseph Hedgecott says in Wake Up, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, Chapter 1, on page 21. One of Satan's deceptions is to convince you there is a third choice. He tries to make you believe that as long as you are doing good works, you are good. You are not good because there is no third choice. Your choices are not evil, good, or best. They're evil or best. The enemy of best is good, not evil. If a thought comes from God, it is love. It is the best. For more information on good as the enemy of best, then read the book Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecott. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Under the God of this world, you are disobedient to the plans of God for your life. Things have been potentially stolen because of the time wasted serving the kingdom of darkness. You have served the devil ignorantly before now. You may get some grace if you've been deceived, thinking you are serving God. But since you are now a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:25-26 says this, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that labors, labors for himself, for his mouth craves it of him. Anything done as Lord of your own life cannot be justified as right just because something good happened. But your labors did not bring glory to God, but to the devil instead. If God is not getting the glory, the devil is through the appetites of the flesh. Paul said to the persecuted church in Philippi, not to think about the issues that they were going through and seek only to maintain the peace of God. Philippians 4 and 6. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God can drop the thoughts that will help you through each day when you take yourself out of your own keeping and put yourself in His keeping. He cares for you. Paul gave some practical examples of how to fix your mind on things above. In Philippians 4 and 8, he says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." While you're thinking of these things above, you cannot be thinking about your problem. It's like pinning your mind. While you're thinking about right things, you will have peace. You will maintain that peace. Paul says in the next verse, Philippians 4:9, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you." Paul was a great example and able to handle stress and operate like a soldier. You may not be called to the front line, but he said to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Let me say that again. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul also repeated this teaching in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. He said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Noah Webster in 1828 described affection like this: "The state of being affective, little used, or a passion, but more generally a bent of mind towards a particular object, holding a middle place between disposition, which is natural, and passion, which is excited by the presence of its exciting object. Affection is a permanent bent of the mind formed by the presence of an object or by some act or another person existing without the presence of its object." Are you moved by God and just want to move Him back? If so, listen to this. Webster also said about affection, "In a general sense, an attribute, a quality, or a property which is inseparable from its object, as love, fear, and hope are affections of the mind, figure, weight, etc. are affections of bodies." Are you bananas for the things of God, or are you thinking about other things? If you have any other passion that is not like Christ, you are not worthy of Jesus. He said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me." Your mind still needs to be changed. Others around you may not appreciate this affection for Christ. They might judge this as extreme or radical or unnecessary. But these affections, the fruits of the Spirit, show that your mind is renewed. Keith Green defined a Christian as somebody who is bananas for Jesus. If you want to hear God's thoughts, then James said this. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." The psalmist says in Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." Your mind needs to be still to hear God, to hear the Lord. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil uses fear to control your mind. He's also loud, so if your mind is still, you will hear the devil clearly. The devil relies on camouflage to hide. The roaring lion is the male lion, who does not usually do any work. He just hides in the long grass. The long grass is like your thoughts, which you keep listening to. The male lion tries to get as close as he can in the long grass and then jumps up to create fear and make the prey run into a trap where the female lions are waiting and also hiding in the long grass. The victims of this trap listen to the roar through fear instead of charging the roar. The devil also planted things in your mind to cause you to run into his trap. For example, the devil wants you to think that you failed when you are being corrected. Actually, Jesus brought truth and conviction to set you free, and the devil does not want you to escape. Jesus is Lord now, and you're going to let him be Lord of your thinking as well. Someone said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. If you keep serving the mind, then you're out of order. The proper order of man at creation was spirit, soul, then body. At creation, sin had not yet separated man from God, and Adam had a working spirit and could walk with God. There was a direct link between the mind of God and the mind of man through the spirit of Adam. The mind of Adam at that time was controlled by God. And a good example of this at creation was that Adam named all the animals. This is recorded in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, starting in verse 19, and I'm reading verse 20. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Adam had just been created. He did not have any experience or knowledge to draw upon. He gave all the right names of the animal kingdom in one day, as God brought them before him. He just opened his mouth, and God filled it, and he looked brilliant. God will honor you for letting him use you. Jesus also said the same to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 11. But then, when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it's not ye that speaks, but the Holy Ghost. The Jewish leaders were astonished. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 13. These were learned people. This is Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We are not supposed to consult our minds or generate thoughts. Your mind should be a place where God can write His laws. Paul says this in Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 15 to 17. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. His thoughts can come at any time. This is especially includes scripture you need at the right time. And you will not have to memorize Bible verses. All you need to do is just read it out loud to yourself. This is how the renewed mind works, with the Holy Spirit in charge when your mind is still. Jesus promised his disciples in John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. God knows what you need to know now. Our mind was designed to listen, trust, and obey. Only God knows what we should be thinking about now. The devil is bombarding the human mind with too much information through the internet and TV. I know that man is fearfully and wonderfully made, and believe the mind has the capacity to hold huge divine thoughts, so mankind cannot overload it. However, the devil's rubbish that you listen to, that appeals to your flesh, will stop your mind working properly. Spirits of fear will cause your mind to freeze. Your morals will be corrupted and twisted so that wrong is right and right is wrong. The devil is a liar, so he has to keep lying to you. He has to explain lies with more lies. If you tell one lie, then you have to tell another lie. God is not like this. The devil is the one responsible for all these flashing images and information that comes to your mind faster and faster. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is even trying to change the frequency of your brain so that you no longer hear when God speaks with a still small voice. God says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The Father's word is truth, and when God speaks, you do not know whether he's speaking about the beginning, the end, or anything in between. But it will always be what you need to know now, because he loves you, and you can trust him. The renewal of your mind is a testimony of Him functioning as Lord of your life. If your mind is not renewed, then this is a testimony against you that you do not trust Him as Lord of your life. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Man has been consulting his own mind because sin came into the world and we're all eternally separated from God. God allowed this misuse of the mind, but not without some side effects. Let's look. Since creation, for example, people have been living shorter lives. Mental diseases have been increasing. Science has shown that man is only accessing less than 5% of the volume of his brain at any one time. Only God knows how to use it all. We were designed to serve God from the beginning. We were not made like the angels, but given a free will so that we could choose God willingly and have a relationship with Him. Adam was happy letting God tell him what to say. This is how it should be with you now. God said to Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Verse 12, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You need to trust God. Get on the narrow way and follow Jesus. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Your faith should be in him, that God really loves you and he cares for you, especially in the small things. Do you believe he is God? Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 10 and 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Hebrews 11:6. Says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith means you are diligent, not just believing he exists. The word diligent in Strong's 1567, it means to search out. That is figuratively to investigate, to crave or demand. To be diligent also means to crave the pure milk of the word. And this will help you come to repentance and get to know him. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 2 and 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's not hard to find an answer from God. If you are lazy, you won't. But if you are diligent, then you will not do anything without first hearing from him. People in this world are not going slowly. They're hearing voices all the time, using their minds. But they don't know if they're serving the devil or not. They're not diligent or careful. As long as they get what they want, they don't really care. They are trading with the devil every day. Do not allow yourself to be intimidated by what others are doing in the flesh. Someone might be good at their vocation because of God's grace. But you want to ask God everything because this is the only safe way to live free from the sin and free from the devil. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first step to renewing your mind is to make Jesus a functional Lord and become a living sacrifice. You will find it hard to do this if you do not believe he loves you. If you really believe he loves you, then you will let him make all the decisions and submit yourself completely to God. The mind needs reprogramming because the propaganda of the devil is still in there. Even though you're born again, the devil is saying that God does not love you. The devil does not want you to become a living sacrifice and make Jesus Lord. The devil wants you to come back and serve him. I recommend you also read the chapter Battle in the Mind in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2 by Joseph Hedgecott, Chapter 14, on pages 220 to 230. In the Amplified Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you. This is Paul speaking. You need to see this verse as your last chance to surrender every part and give yourself to God for His use. By grace, with the Holy Spirit, He is willing to take over. You have to choose Him willingly. Elijah said it like this in 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long have you been between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 13, to the church, this is Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but love and serve one another. Paul continues in Galatians 5 and 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You will sin if you do not obey the Spirit. James says it like this in James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In the Amplified Bible, again in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in view all God's mercies, make a decisive decision. The truth is, you deserve to be cast into hell, but God had mercy on you. Noah Webster in 1828 in his dictionary writes this, in this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language but precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity or compassion, and clemency, but exercises only towards offenders. Mercy is the distinguishing attribute of the Supreme Being. Mercy is not reaping the consequences of the sinful actions that you and I deserve. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that I do not deserve. Your salvation also means not doing your own works, seeking and diligently seeking and finding the works that He has planned for you to do with the help of the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words carefully. Paul says it in Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. These are works predestined, planned beforehand for you. Jeremiah says it like this, Jeremiah 28:29. Verses 11 to 13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. You can easily walk in His paths by trusting God with all your heart. Listen to what this says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. If you really trust him with all your heart, you will never again lean to what you think you know and will follow him. Do you believe that you need to ask God everything? The sign that you really believe something in your heart or center of your being is that you do it. You may be surrounded by people who do not believe you should wait or fear God and depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7 says this, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Remember that sin came through the following a way that seems right to your mind. Now you have to learn something other than your mind to lead you into truth. You will still be tempted to rely on your own mind unless you believe in your heart the following. Number one, the flesh cannot please God. Number two, that the mind cannot come to truth. Number three, that only the Holy Spirit can lead you into all truth. And number four, that you need the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the holy emotions, including the fear of the Lord, to come to repentance. The Holy Spirit can renew your mind and show you all the lies the devil has put in it. Jesus said this in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is a person. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Only by getting to know Jesus personally and following him can you be set free. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You have to accept his lordship, and whatever way he chooses for you, it may mean suffering or trials or hardships. You cannot compare yourself with anyone else. Otherwise, you'll end up judging God. All you have to do is follow. There is no map. You cannot claim any rights. Remember that you've been saved from darkness and you've been serving the devil for years. Hosea 10:13 says it like this, "Ye have plowed in wickedness and you've reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou did trust in thy own way, in the multitude of thy mighty men." You are now behind in your mission. Just accept the command he gives you if you want to redeem the lost time. In the book of Joel 2:25, and he says, "I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pamper worm, my great army which I sent among you." You have to believe the following, that only route to freedom is the cross, following Jesus by becoming a true disciple. This includes all the hard sayings and by listening to the Spirit of truth. The Amplified Bible describes the flesh as the human nature without God. Romans 8:7-8. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." Romans 8:8. "So then that are in the flesh cannot please God." Paul again says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." Only the Spirit of God knows the mind and perfect will of God. The mind will never be able to be good enough or become a good enough resource so that you do not have to ask God everything. His ways are higher. Your attempts to fill your mind with more good information is not renewing the mind. It is hindering the process. In the kingdom of God, this is the way things work. Faith and obedience come before he explains anything. Spiritual knowledge comes from the fear of God, not by listening to your mind. Experience comes from applying truth and being a doer of the living word. Wisdom comes from experience and not without some discomfort. and understanding comes from applying spiritual wisdom in meekness. You cannot live in God's plan using your mind. God says in the book of Isaiah, this is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You will only prove the perfect will of God by doing what he says, with meekness. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." James says in James chapter 1, starting in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Again, in James chapter 3 and verse 13, he says this, "Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 4, "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Meekness means you're going to have to put up with some challenges and are determined to hold on to the truth. Romans 12 and 2 says, and Paul was speaking, this is Romans 12 and 2. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You cannot prove what is God's perfect will without coming to the truth. When seeking the truth, we should use the three witnesses, not your mind. The spirit of truth is the first one. The emotions that he creates confirm truth. The second is the living word. The living word of truth. This is the word that he brings back to your mind. The spirit also bears witness. The third one is the Father. And he brings peace. He gives you the fruit of the spirit, the peace of God. And if something's wrong, that peace will leave. For more information, please read the book Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hedgecock. A fruit that your mind is renewed is that you're no longer conformed to this world. There are some signs that your mind has not yet been renewed. Number one, you do not know that God loves you. Number two, you're still judging. Number three, you have many opinions. Number four, doubts. Number five, you're serving a spirit of fear. Number six, timidity or a lack of boldness. Number seven, unbelief. Number eight, a hardness of heart or not being teachable. Number nine, a lack of joy. And number 10, a lack of peace. A basic lie in the world today is that people believe that God is not love. This wrong belief is a hindrance to letting God renew your mind. It will hinder your faith. Joseph Hedgecock says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, "You can only trust God when you know he really loves you." John said in 1 John 4 and 8, "He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." Many believe a lie that God is actually judging the world instead. But John said in John 3:16 and 17, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus loved the world. In the Amplified Bible says he dearly prized the world. If you are struggling, trying to believe and know that God is love, that he loves you, then you still believe a lie and you have not, your mind has not been transformed. Paul spoke to the church in Ephesians chapter 5. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He did this to dedicate the church to God by his word after making it clean by the washing it in water, in order to present the church to himself in all its beauty, pure and faultless, without spot and wrinkle or any other imperfection. If you start judging in any situation, coming to conclusions without asking God, then you are still carnal and your mind is not renewed. You cannot judge because you do not have all the facts. You are not authorized. God decides when, where, and how much. Your mind was not designed to judge. Matthew 7 and verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If you do not want to be judged, then do not do it yourself. Do not think that you will escape the judgment while you still judge anyone else. Only God is qualified to be the judge. In Psalm 94 and verse 1, it says, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. This duty belongs to God alone. Paul says it in Hebrews 10 and 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, or give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. For more information, please read chapter 11 in the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, pages 182 to 194. Opinions are like noses, everyone has one, and we should not have opinions like the world. Opinions lead to too much talking. We start with truth and do not debate. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy 2 and 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Doubts, they come from thinking and relying on what you can see, which is the temporal realm. For you to function in the kingdom of God, then you must believe and not doubt. James says it like this in James chapter 1 and verse 5. And he says here, this is James chapter 1, starting in verse 5 to verse 7. If any man of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally and doesn't upbraid them, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We should have no fear at all. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We are not to be shy, but bold, even in the face of opposition. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Unbelief is based on a lie. This is not a lie you know is a lie, but a lie that you believe to be the truth, using your mind. John says in 1 John 2 and 27, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is the truth, and is no lie, even as it has taught you that you shall abide in him." For more information on unbelief, please refer to the book Guilt at Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. No one ever stops learning in the kingdom of God. Joseph Hedgecock writes, God does not have any graduates. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." You have to learn from Jesus by being yoked with him. Remain teachable. You have to take on his yoke, and you will find rest. His anointing is teaching you to abide. No abiding and no anointing. Jesus is meek and lowly when you're in the spirit, but he will resist you when you're in the flesh. Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 5 and 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Also, Isaiah says, this is the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Stay close and submit to God, and then you will hear his voice. If you have long periods away from his presence, when you come back, there will be a lot of corrections. Paul says in Hebrews 3 and 15, "What is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." If your heart becomes hard, the process of renewing your mind will stop. You need the joy of the Lord that comes from abiding in the presence of God. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You should try rejoicing frequently to see if you find it hard or not. If you cannot rejoice, you're not in the presence. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." We need that joy. Even when trials come, it should multiply. James says it like this, in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It does not say rejoice when you have one trial now and again. There's a difference. You need many trials. Then you are blessed. You need to change your attitude to trials. This is also part of the renewing of your mind. Without trials, you cannot develop patience and run your race. Remember what Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Your salvation includes taking up your cross, therefore includes a call to suffering. Do you want to be saved? Listen to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It is a calling to suffer. You have to be prepared by God for this. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Through suffering, we can really prove that Christ liveth in us. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit, a fruit of a renewed mind, operating under his lordship. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isaiah says, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. You may need more grace and peace for the narrow way. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter prayed for the elect. Your responsibility is to get to know God and know Jesus as your Lord, not just your Savior. Hallelujah. Everyone has the potential to be transformed. We're all cut off from God through sin. But now, if you're born again, you can be reconnected to God through the Holy Spirit. It is like spiritual Wi-Fi connected now again through Jesus dying on the cross. Anytime that connection is broken, just confess your sins. The flesh and the spirit are opposites. Since you accepted Christ, you should have an abundance of the fruit of the Spirit. If you have been transformed, that transformation is only through a mind that is yielded to God and has his living words for your life daily by the Spirit. This is how it was before the fall of man. You will not be transformed otherwise. This only happens when you decide and follow Jesus. There is no third choice. You can catch up and learn what really has value in the kingdom, what we came here to do. John said, John 1 and 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. People believe that God is cursing them today when he's not. Paul said it, really what was going on. He said this, in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived. Many are deceived today. If you don't have this thinking, your mind is renewed. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It is true that God is the judge, but he will do this when the time is right. Soon this war is coming to an end, and time is running out, so please repent. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Is only judging at the end to give everyone a chance to repent. God's mercy can prevent us from reaping what we've been sowing to the flesh. But that is only to give us time to repent and not perish. This is based on God's love. If you don't like what you're reaping, then stop sowing to the flesh. It's a simple change. It will change the quality of your life through repentance. Joseph Hedgecott says this, if you want something you never had before, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. God will not be mocked. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till it's all fulfilled. Jesus spoke about the wicked and lazy servant who have believed lies and a wrong attitude to doing the work he was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, listen to this story. This is Matthew 25, verse 24, starting in verse 24, and I'm reading to verse 30. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there it is, which is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and lazy servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had not sowed, and gather where I had not strawed. Verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. Verse 29, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Matthew 25 and verse 30 says, and cast ye this unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The devil has been very successful with the lie that says that God is a hard taskmaster, even among God's children. God judged this wicked and lazy servant by his own words. This was based on the fact that he could have done something, what he had, but the truth was he was lazy. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves and know that you're not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Joseph Hedgecott says in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, in the introduction, he says, early in my walk with the Lord, I found it very difficult to move into God's presence, and even more difficult to stay there for any length of time. I wanted to have fellowship with God that the Bible spoke about. But this kind of relationship did not seem normal or easy for me or anyone I knew. At the time, that felt discouraging, and I came to the conclusion that something was seriously wrong. Either the Bible was wrong, or what Christianity accepted as normal was wrong. So I chose to believe the Bible was right, and that meant I was wrong. If you do not accept this conclusion as truth, you are wasting your time reading this book before going any further. You must accept that you are the problem if your relationship with God is not as it should be. Your mind is not renewed if you still think God is the problem. He's not limiting you. He is standing in your way to stop you from destroying your calling and having any chance to enter the kingdom of God before it's too late. He's even hurting you. Have you ever thought how God feels about your unbelief and the fact that he really cares for you? If you are clear with God, you should also have clear communication with God. Either you're spiritual or you're carnal as a believer. Make no excuses. If you suspect something is feeding your flesh, you need to stop it now. Otherwise, you'll end up with a big flesh resisting all the time and never hear God and never obey God. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep, Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you've heard this message today and you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord with daily and regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to learn about how the devil uses lies and more information on ways that seem right, please read the book The Guilty Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. If what you've heard today has really spoken with you, let me pray with you. God's plan is for you to be transformed. He loves you. And if you don't know that God really loves you, let me pray with you right now, because that's a sign something is really wrong. Heavenly Father, everyone who's listening to this message, I'm praying now that they will know how wonderful and how great, how wide and how deep the love of God is for them, that you paid the price, that they're dearly prized and dearly loved by you, and that you want them to totally surrender their lives to you and learn to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are blessed by this message, please contact the ministry. My details will be at the end. God bless you. Have a great day.
If you've struggled spiritually for years, if you're not where you should be in your Christian walk, if you're determined to finish the race that God has set for you, then this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, is written for you. This book by Joseph Hedgecock will give you details and instructions on how to identify hindrances in your life and how to overcome them. It will give you practical examples of how to get into God's presence and to stay there, and how to allow all things to pass away and things to become new. It will teach you how to be in your Father's arms and allow him to discipline you and to encourage you and to bring you on and move you forward, to lay a right foundation that can be built on by him later on. If you want to grow in your Father's arms, if you want your Father to teach you, if you want to grow spiritually, then this book is available from www.solm.org.